I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Four Times a Podcast. This week's episode was brought to you by footballprizes.co.uk. This week's Celtic prize is a fantastic Callum McGregor signed and framed Celtic 22-23 home shirt. There's also there's 10 instant win prizes, including a couple of great Carol Starfelt and Cameron Carter-Vickers signed and frame montages as well. So if you want to be in with a chance of winning any of these prizes, then just go to footballprizes.co.uk and you'll find the Callum McGregor competition. The tickets cost £3.95 for this one, but if that's just a wee bit too much, we can get you a wee discount on that. If you put in the code 4x10 at checkout, that'll get you 10% off your ticket as well. Good luck to anybody that enters that, and thanks to Football Prizes for their continued support. But we'll get on with the show. Hello and welcome to another episode of Four Times and the Podcast. This week we will be discussing the victory against St Johnstone in Perth on Sunday and looking at the notable performers from that game, and we'll have a wee look towards this Saturday Scottish Cup game against the Mirren as well. Danny, it was another, I don't think Celtic were at their best, but we still scored 4 goals. There was some great performances for Alex Kyogo and Aaron Moy. Just to pick out a few, but what did you make of the game on Sunday?
First of all, I thought it was great that we won 4-1 and played really, really well. I thought it was a good game. I didn't think we were great in the game, even though we won 4-1, is what I meant to say. I thought we played a wee bit within ourselves at times. I thought they started well in St Johnstone, working at it in the game, and then next thing we were 2-0, it was good. And then it was 2-1, but I never thought we were in any danger of losing the game, but I just thought we were kind of good in name era. I thought if maybe St Johnstone maybe would have maybe made it 2-2 or even 3-2 at one point, I think we'd have just thought out the part and scored again. And we were really good. It was good to see, which is a really good position to be in, it was good to see players like Moy carry on his good form. There's just certain games, I don't know what it is, there's just certain games when you see the team shoot, like Moy's going to have a good game today, and it seems to be the more than who right enough, but I thought he was really good. For Jota had a great game. I couldn't believe the criticism I've seen of Jota online after the game, people saying he's half it. I thought it was fucking brilliant, set 2 goals up. His assist for Jota for Moy was fucking outstanding. And just his general play, I thought was really good. I couldn't get out of folks saying that he had a poor game. But I thought it was good, and if no, maybe really good. Maybe better than that. But we're playing some really good stuff when we need it in a minute, and that's the main important thing. And we just keep winning, and it seems to be that we're playing after a certain team every single week. So to just keep the consistency up and no give them a sniff is very good.
Definitely, and I think that, as you mentioned at the end there, the fact we are always playing sort of like the last game of the weekend, it's never really mentioned just because it's never seemed to be a factor for this team, like even towards the end of last season or this season. Like the team just sort of got on with it, and look, we've been almost perfect this season. We had that defeat at St Mirren and obviously dropped 2 points at New Year as well, but apart from that, we've just been so good that it doesn't matter if we play first, we play the day after them, 15 minutes before them, whatever happens, it doesn't seem to affect the team. And I agree with you, I don't think we were at our outstanding best, but for a team to be not at their best and still come away with 4 goals and another good victory on a terrible pitch again, it was, I thought, really good. I thought St Johnstone in the first 10 minutes had a go at us, but like, you're never worried. It's like last season, I think it was a bit merry a roller coaster in terms of we were chasing for so long, and then you were always nervous because of what had happened the previous season. But this season, I think everybody's just a lot calmer and know that the goals will come. And it's like, I think you're right to highlight Jota. I thought Jota was really good as well. As I said already, Aaron Moy and Kyogo, like just especially like the first goal, both of them are just absolutely like magnificent. And Kyogo, I think, is the one that starts the attack by getting the ball very deep and sending a ball to the far right hand side, and then Aaron Moy eventually puts it through Kyogo. Kyogo obviously puts it in, and Considine applies the finishing touch for an own goal. But I just think we're absolutely motoring towards the title, and like, I know the other side are in decent enough form since they've got a new manager, but they'll be absolutely crushed and devastated that not only have they not gained a point on us since he's come in, but we've extended our goal difference as well, which is all but worth for an extra point as well. So like, that's us on plus 60 goal difference after 25 league games. We've scored 78 league goals, and like, that's we're averaging over 3 a game, which is just incredible when you're like 2/3 of the season in. Like, it's just incredible to see. Tony, what did you make it? As I say, the team, even on our off days, we're still scoring that many, and 25 games in, be still averaging over 3 goals a game is just incredible.
I think you said kind of early on the season, I think this team could break records in terms of goals scored and the way it's gone. You think it's still a real possibility. You know, I've said it, I feel as if I say it every week, you just feel, maybe we're due a bad one, maybe we're due to drop the ball, but just relentless, and it's going to take a lot to stop us in terms of just the way we play. I mean, you look at the first goal where Kyogo picks it up in the centre of the pitch, and then seconds later he's in the box and he's put on a fantastic ball, and Considine can't really do much. I know there's some people who think Considine deliberately put it in his own net. I thought we were actually really good, and one of the worst pitches I've seen. Our pitch hasn't been great for a while, but that was a really bad pitch. Aaron Moy again, phenomenal. He's probably, it's a bit cliche, but the first name in the team sheet there, he's kind of undroppable in current form. Don't get me wrong, I won't be surprised if fans maybe rotates getting into the League Cup final, but he's been great. He's passed through to Kyogo's really clever. I've been pretty happy with him. Kyogo again, I think that's 11 goals in his last 11 games. He's been just really consistent. As I say, he's contributing in other ways. He's pressing, he's passing, he's movement. I sound a bit like John Collins. but he's just been phenomenal. Jota, although he didn't score himself, very much involved. Set up Kyogo, set up Moy, and I think he had one that just dipped and hit the bar. And Turnbull off the bench getting a goal again. I think it was Matt Riley's 10th assist of the season. I can't really fault anybody. I guess, if I'm going to be quite critical, I thought Joe Hart should have saved the shot. I thought Hatate was a bit weak in the build-up to it, but I think it's the first goal we conceded in about 6 games, and it's not really had any impact on the end result. We've increased our goal difference and kept our 9-point lead, which is what we set out to do every weekend. I think the way somebody said as well, we basically every week Rangers seem to play first and get the chance to put a bit of pressure on us. So far we've dealt with it really well, and I think that's just Ange Postecoglou for you. I just don't think he's going to allow any complacency to set in. I think if anybody does get even slightly complacent in training, they'll find themselves watching a game for the bench. So everybody seems to be fired in the new. Thought again looked good when he came on. No doubt he probably had a right good chance at his first goal if Considine had they brought him down, but unfortunately wasn't it to be. So I'm sure he's getting up to full fitness. Cup game at the weekend, the last cup game he went full pelt. There's really no reason not to do the same here. I wouldn't be surprised if he made some changes. I'd love to say start all, but can't really stop a striker or bench a striker that's scoring week in, week out. I think it would defeat the purpose. It's just a joy to watch Celtic now, and it's hard not to get a bit kind of apprehensive every time somebody gets sacked in the Premier League, especially this time of year. This is close to when Rodgers done the boost. I know he's been linked with a Leeds job in Southampton, and I would hope he wouldn't just up sticks and leave during the season. I don't think he would do that. famous last words, if that goes tits up. But he's just done such a great job. I was thinking to myself, when you think where we were 2 years ago, I think we were about 25 points behind. In such a short space of time, he's turned us into just a relentless winning machine. I know we've got a superior budget, etc., but we spent really well that year as well and found ourselves 25 points behind. I mean, he's got us just being just such a well-oiled machine. And if somebody comes off and O'Reilly comes on, for example, they're offering something, Turnbull can offer something, Abada, etc., the squad's in just such a phenomenal position based on the league we're in. And I'm just a really good time to enjoy the football. Be lying if I says I'm maybe looking ahead to the League Cup final. I think that's a big one. I think a lot of people will be excited, nervous, sick, all of the above in terms of that. But first, obviously, we've got St Mirren in the Cup. We want to try and win the treble. That should be the aim for us every year. So I think it'll be a tough game. I know the last game we beat them 4-0, but I assume they'll try and change something to make it a bit harder for us. But if we play our football, then we should be absolutely fine.
Aye, definitely. Andy, what did you make of the St Johnstone game before we move on to other issues? It's, the man who was taking a lot of the plaudits was Aaron Moy. It's quite incredible how far he's came, and like from the start of the season when people sort of wondered if he'd get in the midfield, and then I think he was part of that defeat against St Mirren, and people sort of put the blame on guys like him and the other players that came in that day. It's quite incredible that he's now been spoken about as a potential player of the year.
100%, I think. Obviously, there was reservations when he came in because he was out playing in China and obviously hadn't really played football for almost a year, the way things were working out there. And COVID and all the rest of it. So for him to come in and obviously get himself up to speed, came back for the World Cup, and it was almost like a new signing, to use that old sort of cliche. He came back for the World Cup. Obviously, wasn't he right into the team? I think sort of minimal minutes the first sort of couple of games back. And then, weirdly enough, I think it was when we beat St Johnstone 4-1, he played the majority of the game the first time, the most recent time before. Obviously, we just won in Perth there, but the one at home. And then, obviously, he scored the double against Hibs. So I think the way he's just sort of announced himself, if you like, because I felt as if he wasn't in danger of becoming forgotten about, but you know that way our midfield was so strong, people probably felt as if Turnbull was ahead of him in the pecking order, but I think now it's all sort of flipped in its head. And as you say, like, obviously besides sort of Callum McGregor, Moyes probably the next person on the team sheet in current form. And I think that's completely fair. And he keeps fucking scoring goals as well, which isn't something he's ever been really renowned for. But it's brilliant to see him play. He's so calm. And he always wants to go forward with the ball, which is huge. But just to touch on what Tony said in terms of how relentless they are, like, I think for me, part of it feels as if players can't take their foot off the gas because I've said it before, I think now with the depth we've got is probably one of the strongest full squads, like 25 man or whatever squad. One of the strongest sort of 25 man squad I've seen for us in years. And I would include like Rodgers' teams and all that. While his 11 was great, you always felt as if like the bench and the players who were secondary to that starting 11 could have been improved on. Whereas now, I feel as if we've just got so much depth in the side. I mean, even if you take the subs that came on, Abada, geez, I mean, his numbers speak for itself in terms of goals and assists. Aksabanovic, man who I think a lot of people are, similar to myself, really, really hopeful that there's a player there. He's obviously been unlucky with an injury here and there, but still got goals, wanting to make things happen. O, who's just came in, you would like to think is we've done our recruitment well there, and gone after previous recruitment, it's going to be another good signing. And then you've got O'Reilly and Tumble, who, I mean, as good as they are, they're struggling to get in the team, and I think that just speaks volumes about the recruitment, the squad. Like, players can't afford to be at it because you'll be right at the team, and you'll get guys coming on, and they're of that level where they are capable of taking your chance, whereas you know if somebody's behind you in the pecking order and they're maybe no up to it, that you can afford an half day here and there. So I don't think players can really afford in a select team to become sort of just they can't really afford to take their eye off the ball. And I think that's part of the reason why we're obviously looking just like a constant well-oiled machine. But I'm really happy with performance again. Obviously we lose a goal, which doesn't give the clean sheet, but I think prior to that we had maybe 5 clean sheets in a row, if I'm not mistaken. So I think we can concede them a goal.
Six
clean sheets in the trot after that. Like, I can balance a probability on its own. There's going to be a goal in there. So I'm really, really happy. I think there's been so many big performers, especially if the World Cup. Maeda's another one. He was levelled a lot of criticism, pretty different kind of criticism anyway, because obviously Maeda was still in the team and the manager was playing him for the get-go, but he really is silencing a lot of doubters as well. With his performances, I think he's showing the value that he does bring to the team as well. So, I'm really, really happy and just constantly looking forward to the next game, to be honest, Darren. Obviously, Scottish Cup, then we've got the league, and then we've got the League Cup final. The games, they come thick and fast, and it's always brilliant to look forward to them, but it's reassuring because, you know, touch wood, but if you do get an injury, I'm just so confident that we've got the depth there to deal with still what it still is a hectic fixture schedule. So I looking forward to the next game and happy with performance.
Definitely, and I think you're right to bring up how like the depth of the squad, like in terms of why it is like so fierce for competition, and like it's I don't even think you would have to go back like maybe 6-7 weeks, maybe before the World Cup, where it would have been unheard of that Matt O'Reilly would be having a spell on the bench because Aaron Moy was playing so well, and like it's testament to him. Like O'Reilly's still, I think he's getting most assists in the league, and yet Aaron Moy's come in and nobody's sort of batting an eyelid anymore because Moy's the form player in the country at the moment. And but since the World Cup's just been an absolute revelation, as you say, him and Maeda, like they've come back from the World Cup really up the level, and even guys like Carol Starfield are yet again having a quietly brilliant season. Like, I know for some reason, I think it's just some Celtic fans that just are never sort of comfortable with Starfield, and they seem to let it cloud their judgment. But I thought on Sunday he was outstanding again. I thought absolutely everything in the air he wins. He doesn't need St Johnston forwards a minute, and like I know they did concede, but I don't think you can really put that down in the defence for that goal, because it was sort of a long distance shot that Hart probably should have saved. But I think the squad's in a great place. Like, I know we didn't have an episode out last week, but we were live on Twitter and we were speaking about this sort of transfer window, and Danny, I'll bring you in just to sort of round up on the transfer window, because I know we've had some breaking news the last sort of half hour as we've been recording. But towards the transfer window ending, we saw the likes of Abelgaard and Jens, and now officially Georgios Chakamakis has left the club as well. But I think it's sort of testament to the squad that I don't think these players will be overly missed, and testament to Ange that he's been ruthless enough that that's 3 signings, that two that were brought in this season and one that was brought in his first transfer window that he's sort of been happy to move on, and the squad doesn't look any worse for it.
Aye, Jackie Marcus in the last 90 seconds or something, Celtic officially made that official, even though Jackie Marcus had made that official himself, didn't he? Half an hour ago on Instagram. No, I think you're right about players leaving. I mean, Juranovic's a quality player. Jackie Marcus was a good player for us as well. Is the squad weaker? You wouldn't say that it is. So that's obviously a testament to the good work that Ange's done and the recruitment team and everybody else. But I think as well, just the fact that we are replacing players before we even let them go is a good sign, and it's something that's never really we've never really had before. So that's good. But all right, as you brought, I think O'Reilly's out for him now. I think O'Reilly's really out for him. And it pains me to say, I think he's probably the best, one of the best footballers at the club. But Moyes came in and it's just absolutely blew everybody away this season. And he's really, really good. He's been really, really good the last couple of weeks. And I thought his goal was outstanding the other day. I thought he was really, really good. But I agree with what Andy said about the... Sorry, I was watching something. I agree with what Andy says about the squad. There is real serious depth in the squad. Now, that doesn't mean if Andy makes 11 changes, we expect to still win 4-1, 3-1. You know what I mean? We don't expect that. But you can bring in these players now and you can make changes. And you don't. You're like, oh, no. We see Dane. And their midfield's just so... I mean, they're tumble. Tumble must have scored... What is it, 3 and 4 games or something? That's including a fucking red card as well. Tumble's playing really well now when he gets his chance, and yet he's not started a game in a while. And I think he's a great player. So it's good that the squad are in. The squad's really strong. You've let two players go, like Jackie Marcus, who I just think he's a fucking idiot. Why would you want to leave Celtic? You know, you've got a crack at a treble, you've got a crack at them in a cup final. You've got, you know, potentially staying off 12 months as a crack in the Champions League as well. And yeah, he's away to America to obviously be earning more money, but I just find it really daft. And yeah, he seems to have got a free reign off a lot of supporters he seems to have got a kind of free reign for the way he's acted. Whereas Juranovic, people are saying on Twitter, you're at the Juranovic because he asked for a day off when they won the league at Tannadice, which is obviously just a fucking lot of shite. If Ange was that bothered, they'd have got rid of him 6 months ago. Just really, really strange the way folk have went on about both of them that are leaving. Juranovic seems to be an arsehole. Jackie Marcus seems to be hard done by. I don't get it. When Juranovic played, you know, whenever I was asked, and it looks like Jackie Marcus has spat a dummy out because he came on as a sub and he's been, you know, whatever. But we get to move on, that's the beauty. We get to move on, we've already got a new guy in, you know, who I think looks really good. That turn, I mean, Constantine done him fucking dirty, bringing him down, because I think he was going to level that in the top corner. But I hope he gets a start on Saturday as well. I hope we get to see him. I think he looks good. I think he looks a bit sturdy. He doesn't really get pushed off the ball that easy, which is good. And I think he will offer us something a bit different to Kyogo, but... I think as well, he can play football as well, which I've noticed.
I thought he's looked good. He was very busy when he came on against Dundee United at Tannadice, and I think you're spot on. Like, if it isn't for Considine, he's very likely going to have got his first Celtic goal on Sunday. But we'll move on to St Mirren game. Tony, I know you're already sort of touching it. How would you sort of approach it? I think it's maybe even a wee bit pointless having a conversation, because you look at the game against Morton, Ange pretty much went full strength. So would you expect that to be the same, or could you see a guy like Oban brought in, or maybe somebody like David Tumble after Hattie having a quieter game on Sunday?
It would have shocked me if he made a couple of changes, but I don't think he'll be doing any major, because it's still kind of SPFL opposition we're up against. It's the only team in the league that's beat us this year, so... I think he'll proceed with caution, and we don't have very European football. We don't have any midweek games coming up. I know we have got a League Cup final in a couple of weeks, but can I just start resting players? We want to compete in the Scottish Cup. So I think he'll look to the sensible option. Play your full team, put the game to bed, and then then make your changes. That always seems to work better than the other way about, trying to play a weakened team. And if you still want to have to bring people on, you're kind of scrambling to get the win. So I think he'll play a full team. I think he'll go start just based on his form, and he deserves to start. It's as simple as that. O has been quite effective when he's come on, but I can't see him dropping Kyogo. It's a huge game for us. It's as big a game as any in terms of the aims of the club for the season. So I think he'll go full pelt. Just thinking back to Giakoumakis, I mean, I think you just thank him and move on. It's as simple as that. I say I was done by kind of throwing the toys at the pram every time a Celtic player left or wanted to leave. I concede that it's a very strange move. I don't really understand it, but I guess the weather in America is probably better than it is here. So, best of luck to him. And as we say, as before, Eddie Gee's a replacement playing, so it's not really a sore one when the replacement's been here for a couple of weeks. Same with your arm, it's the replacement had already been signed a month in advance, so it's a very good way to do the business. But no, for me, full team on Saturday. If anybody's going to come in, I could maybe see O'Reilly coming in for Hatate, or possibly Abada coming in for Jota or something like that. But again, two assists for Jota and made us contributing. So, I mean, if it's based on current levels of performance, then it's the same team as Sunday. If it's based on wanting to give opportunities to people who maybe been good in training, then if he's going to change it, I'd like to see Haksabanovic get a start, because he played a huge part, and I think it was we beat Ross County just before the World Cup break to go the 9 clear. So I'd like to see him get back into the team. Maybe see a bit more of Awata, but I think those players will make their mark in the second half of the St Mirren game.
Aye, it'll be interesting to see. I think you're right. Obviously, they're the only team that has beat us in the league, but I think we sort of put that to bed the other week when we did dispatch him 4-0. I know it was a 4-0, but I think I gave them credit on here after we did beat them. It was comfortable in terms of scoreline, but I think they were one of the few teams that they're just a big physical team that but they actually did have a wee bit of a go at us. I think Joe Hart had a few good saves that day. But it'll be interesting to see, because I know it's a good point you make about like somebody like Haksabanovic. He's not really... don't think he started a game since the World Cup. I know there was a bit of an injury, but I think he's come off the bench a few times. Like, I know he came on at half-time against Morton in the last cup game, but apart from that, he's sort of been wee cameos that he's been coming on. But again, you look at like Jota and Maeda and Abada, it's tough to get in their positions at the moment. And he's obviously got competition for guys like James Forrest as well, who are still there as well. But I think we'll go full strength. I don't think he'll change the striker in terms of bringing Noah in. I think it maybe could go the same way as the Morton game, where if like that, the game's done at half time or Luke's done, and like, I think Kyogo had already had two goals. In fact, I know he did because I'd backed him for a hat trick that day, and then Ange subbed him at half time. But I think you could see similar in terms of if the game's all but done, then you sort of get Kyogo off and Gee that sort of extended period to actually go out there and hopefully get on the score sheet. But Andy, what you're thinking about it is half five kickoff will be under the disco lights. Were you expecting an exciting encounter on Saturday?
I think there'll be, as you said, that we'll not be getting out saying we can make 11 changes and we'll still battle them. I don't think the manager would do that and even allow for a hint of complacency. But I think that what will happen is there'll be a few changes, I would suspect so. It's probably a good chance to key guys like Haksabanovic a bit of a longer run at it. We know we've seen quality for him in the past, and it's just about new, obviously, with him featuring in the injury hit and stuff, is just to get to a match fitness and match sharpness, which only benefits. And I don't think 2-3, maybe 4 changes to a starting 11 is really going to sort of hamper us too much with the quality that we've got off the bench. I think you see it, to be honest, enough when players are coming on when we're winning and we're performing, because they're making impacts, especially sort of in the last couple of weeks, I think, more often than not, when boys are coming on after the bench, they're chipping in with goals, or they're making things happen. Tumble being an example against St Johnston. So certainly I think that there's going to be a couple of changes, and it's the best interest as well, because players might obviously pick up wee niggles here and there, and do you really want to risk them when it's an opportunity to use the squad? That's why it's there. The manager obviously has spoken before about how he wants it to be that way, where you're no sort of fearful of making changes because you're diminishing the quality. So I think it'll be a good opportunity for that to happen. We've seen it before, I think, with Kobayashi and stuff like that, playing against Morton. I think Tumble started their games as well. So I suspect to see sort of two, maybe three changes, I would think. Any more than that, I'd be surprised. But two or three changes to the starting 11. And again, I think it'll be another real professional performance. And you'll see the same levels of intensity throughout the whole team. And to be honest, when there is the changes, I think the players will be able to sort of make their mark and take an inspiration for what Moy's done. He got a chance, he's come in, he's taken it. And as we said earlier, now he's one of the first names in the team sheet. And I think guys will be looking at that saying, well, there's no reason why I can't do the same thing. And that should make for an interesting game.
Aye, definitely. And Danny, would you make any changes? As we've said, I don't think any of us expect Ange to make wholesale changes, but if you were to make two or three, who would you be looking to bring in?
Tumble and Hak Sabanovic, I think, is probably the three that I would definitely make, because Hak Sabanovic is too good to sit on the bench. I think he's brilliant. And I know Maeda and Jota have been brilliant. Maeda's probably been my best player since Christmas, but we need to get Hak Sabanovic back in the team again. I know we've got just, you know, the cups and the league to play for now, there's no Europe, but we need all our players playing but we need them to be playing firing on all cylinders, that's what I was meant to say. And I just think that Hak Sabanovic has hardly even been getting on. I think he's too good. I mean, he can play in the middle, he can play it wide. I think he's far too good to be out of the team. And I think that he should start. Oh, we need to see what it looks like. I don't think he's been getting long enough. He's only been getting kind of 10, 15 minutes. If he was Greek, he'd probably fucking put it on Instagram about how frustrated he is. But gladly, he seems to be quite happy now, and hopefully he gets a start on Saturday. And Tumble just deserves it. He's scored a few goals off the bench, and it'd be good to see him back in the team. But we need to remember, St Mirren have beat us this season. They're the only Scottish team to have done that this season. We need to give them the respect that they're due, and go and beat them. It's a tough game. We need to go and win.
Aye, definitely. And I think, I know it's gone back a while, but I don't think you can sort of just rely on that winning the league against them a few weeks as the sort of game that can just expect to happen on Saturday, because I remember back in the late 2000s it was Celtic, I think it was, we hammered St Mirren 9-0 and then lost 1-0 the next week in the Scottish Cup. So it's sort of one of the games that you've just got to watch the one-off sort of nature. There's always a danger that if that's the day you don't turn up, then you could be made to be punished for it. But Tony, just so I can put the clickbait title in our episode description, is Ange Postecoglou going to join Leeds United as their new manager?
My big mate Ange is not going to leave just yet, I don't think. No, I don't think so. I think he'll leave for the Premier League eventually, but hopefully not quite now. But I think it's been about a year since I asked him about signing a long-term deal, and he gave a lovely answer, but he's not signed a long-term deal. So maybe next time we're at a press conference with Ange, if things are going well, we'll ask him to sign a new deal, and if they aren't, then we'll drop him off at Leeds ourselves. But
Has he been offered one?
I don't know. You would like to think the club would have offered him something. I mean, I don't see... Why would you not offer somebody that's doing so well, like a long-term deal? They've done it with Rodgers, I think, just after he won the league, mathematically, his first season, that was like the April. Ange's been here for 18 months. Even if it's just for look, we know you want to go next season, but we want compensation for you. I thought maybe they would have offered it, because it was big, big talk at the end of last season. Postecoglou was getting offered a bumper new deal, etc., etc. And I thought they were just waiting for a bit of, like, kind of good timing, but it doesn't seem to have happened. But maybe one for the next presser. I think it would no back in until just before the game against them in the league in the 8th of April. So if we've won the League Cup and we're going strong, I'll be begging them to sign a new deal then.
I think the only good thing as well, I heard Hugh Evans on Clyde One on Friday night saying that Neil Lennon wouldn't go near the Aberdeen job, because if he takes a job in the UK before April, he need to pay full tax on his ammonia salary and payoff. So that's good to know that if Ange does decide to jump ship, then it's... What'd you say?
If Ange is going to go, fucking go tomorrow.
A limited time ago, and we can all get on 10-game Kennedy again, but that's for another time. But, hopefully it's just rumours. I think, like, doesn't seem to be any concrete in it, but it would be handy if Ange was on a long-term deal. I know it doesn't mean much, because Rodgers signed a few contract extensions and longer contracts, but it does sort of protect the club as well. So I think we're pretty sure that Ange isn't going to turn out to be sacked by Christmas now, so you may as well get him secured on a sort of longer term deal. But just before I get predictions and wrap up, I will point you in the direction of our YouTube channel. So if you just search for Full Tims on YouTube, you will see that there has been new content uploaded. We had Kieran was back, and we've got a new member of the pod, Tim Sean. So they two were on doing a wee review of the transfer window last week. So that video went up last week, and they've got one this week coming out, and it's with one of Celtic's most notable YouTubers. It's Ryan118. We obviously had him on here last season in our end of season awards, so if you liked what you heard then, and I'm sure most of you are aware of his channel, he's part of the Celtic the Thunder podcast as well. But I go there if you want to check that out. That'll be out later this week, and by all accounts we've been told it's a good chat. I'm looking forward to seeing it myself. But so if you go there, drop a wee like, comment and subscribe, that'd be much appreciated. But Danny, I'll take your prediction for Saturday night.
I think it'll be 2-0, and O scored his first goal for the club. O scored his first goal for the club, and who else? Do you know what? O'll get both of them. His first one will be a left foot, kind of daisy cutter, and his second one will be, he'll trip the keeper if he just outside the box. There you are. But I hope he's all enjoy it. And then Ange will give a very, very emotional farewell to the fans.
I can tell he sees him the next Saturday at Aberdeen, hopefully. But
carry on, but there's no danger, Ange. You can clip this. There's no danger, Ange. He's going anywhere. He's not going to Leeds. I mean, he'd be daft to go to Leeds. I was kidding on about Harry Kewell, but I don't think the Leeds fans like him, so it's even less likely now.
You don't want to hate him because he went to Galatasaray.
That's right. Well, they're obviously not coming after Ange, are they?
Hopefully no. But Tony, what's your prediction for Saturday?
Well, I think John Kennedy's lineup will be similar to Sunday, as Ange will actually already be in Leeds. We'll wake up on Friday morning to him walking about Ellen Road, like we did when we watched Rogers walking about the King Power. I remember that. I just went back to my bed. I think it was about 2 o'clock today. No, I think the big fella will be here. I think we'll win 5-1. I think it'll be a blistering show for a full team. And Kyogo will get a hat-trick. And Jota will get one, and Abada will get one off the bench.
See, the funny thing is, the last time that we had a good manager that walked out on us, it sort of led to the birth of this podcast. I think if Ange walked out on us, then it would lead to the death of it, so it'd be quite fitting. But Andy, what's your prediction for Saturday?
I'll go for 3-0. I actually think O will be in the score sheet as well, so I'll go for O, Hak Sabanovic, and I tell you what, one of the centre-halves is going to score a header, so I'm going to say Kobe Ashi. I reckon he starts. So there's your three goal scorers.
I think it will be pretty comfortable. I think it will be 3-1 to Celtic, and I think that it will be usual scorers. I think Kyogo will get a double, and I think we'll see possibly another goal from David Turnbull, I think. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if Turnbull was in from the start. That would be my prediction in terms of the lineup. But that'll do us until next week. We will be back to discuss the St Mirren game and obviously the next round of the cup, if we are in it, we'll have had the draw and we'll discuss that as well, and then we'll have the Aberdeen game in the league to look forward to as well. But until then, we will speak to you next week. Cheers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.